Welcome to the Meatball Pod, Meatballs. Happy Thursday. And this is going to be an exciting and fun episode because Diener could not make it this week. So we have JWoww in the building.
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
Why? I'm your best friend.
I know, but I feel like you're like a big business person right now and you're interviewing me.
Am I?
You are.
Ew, am I like Barbara Walters?
You're basically better than Barbara.
I'm literally, so what I'm doing right now is at pickup. So I'm sitting in the car looking like Adam Sandler.
Same.
And that's what we're doing today. What are you doing?
I am pacing my foyer because I don't know what's going to happen.
You're so stupid.
Where are we going with this? Is this exciting? Are we going to talk shit? Or are we going to keep it
TV?
Yeah,
we can definitely talk shit.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do, bitch. It is our safe place where we could literally just say whatever we want. And that's why we love this freaking podcast, because a lot of people talk for us and we don't like it. So we usually start the episode with talking about our weekend. And I know Dina was busy. You know, she had a big Halloween party. So that's why the kids are sick, because she had like a million kids at her house. But I was busy doing my store event. And I know that you guys went to go see Pauly Spin for the Halloween party. Did you miss me? Because I had FOMO.
Oh my God, of course I missed you. And I think for like the past 4 years, I would go to Dina's Halloween party, but this was like my first year not having the kids this weekend. And I wanted to be an adult. And what better way than to black out at Pauly's DJing party? In costume.
Yeah, it's like you were 21 again. 21 again, going out, dressing up cute. I feel like you look so hot.
Thanks. I was Beetlejuice's ex-wife. I feel like I can play an ex-wife really well.
Really? Why is that?
Just, you know, it's in my DNA at this point.
Wait, and then I was so confused. I thought Zach dressed up as Dexter because I'd never seen the movie of, like, what he was. So I was like, oh, did he, like, wrap himself in the cellophane?
No.
You know what I mean?
He
I'm like, who is
was
he?
American Psycho because that stems from a joke when Vinny would call him American Psycho, and low-key, I always call Zach American Psycho, too, because he is Patrick Bateman in the best way possible. That's just his personality, and I'm obsessed. So last-minute change from Beetlejuice, I was like, can you please? We saw a TikTok, and I'm like, you have to be Patrick Bateman, and he loved it. So, yeah, he played Psycho well this weekend.
I can't. And then we saw that Mike was wearing his neck brace. What exactly, like, was that costume?
He just was sick of these bitches.
I'm so confused.
He said he got, like, his babysitter, like, works in the hospital, so she grabbed a few things, and he just wanted to be sick of these bitches. I don't know if it was in, like, relation to comments or cast members, but
yeah, like what?
Yeah, he actually didn't clarify, like, who he's actually sick of, and now I have a complex, so here we are.
Yeah, I'm so confused, because is it us? Are we the bitches?
Are we the bitches?
Is he sick of us?
He might be. He might be after this season. Oh, my God.
Jesus. Well, he definitely made that up. You could tell he made up that costume.
Yeah, it was a great original concept. I'll give him that.
And then what was everybody else?
So, Pauly had a mask. Nikki was like a beautiful cat, obviously, and
ooh.
I know she was hot, and Angelina was, I think, little Bo Peep, which she looked adorable too,
cute. And then wasn't Sam there?
Oh my God, Sam was a skeleton, but like a cute, like she can't be ugly if she tried.
I know, she's so annoying.
I know, so she was just a naturally beautiful skeleton. I'm like,
so
are you fucking
annoying.
Kidding me?
Even when, like, she doesn't, like, do her hair or makeup.
No.
Because obviously we've seen each other, like, looking rough.
Yeah.
She's still freaking pretty. We look like we're dying.
No, I look like Adam's. I look like I actually
look
should be committed. And I look like I got electrified. And she's just naturally just stunning 24/7. So I'm sure she was trying to go for more of, like, an edgy skeleton. But she ended up looking hot.
I can't. I'm jealous.
You should be, because I missed you.
I know, I had FOMO. But happy Thursday. I hope everyone tunes into the episode tonight, MTV at 8 o'clock. Do you know what's going on this episode?
So I'm this so is lost. Where I meet Bunny. We've talked forever online.
Oh,
but this
shit,
is,
you recorded that?
Yes. So I recorded, one of the producers came and—
dear.
Yes. So this episode might be heavy for me, might not. I'm like actually really excited and low-key want to throw up over it a lot. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play it out because obviously I'm sure you've told your fans this billion times. We don't see them ahead of time, so I don't know what they're gonna show.
No, I know it can trap and screw, but also like leave out the important parts that like they don't think are important. Wait, but what did you talk about in the episode? Did you open up about your mom? Was that what it was?
Yeah, I opened up about my mom because it really was not meant to go that route, but Bunny and I live parallel lives. Our fathers raised us, both our mothers.
I'd go be with her, honestly. Okay.
I'm allowed one. You have one, I'm allowed one.
All right, fine. She's hot.
She's so hot. And she's so... Okay, you're going to get mad, so I'm just going to skip that.
Just say it.
She's just so incredibly talented in what she does. Yeah, you know, see, there it is. And She caught me, man. She caught me with my guard down. I really did not think she was going to get that out of me. But because we have these parallel lives, I decided to talk about my mom, which led into our fathers, both raised by single dads, both, you know, dealt with all sorts of trials and tribulations and just like natural speed bumps. And I don't want to say that like my childhood was a bad childhood because it wouldn't have allowed me to be the person that I am today if I didn't go through that as a child and a teen. Like, you know that. Like, we wouldn't be the people we are today if we didn't have the experiences that we had. And that's how Bunny put it in perspective as well. But our childhoods were not easy and it was very relatable. It was a beautiful podcast, obviously not as beautiful as yours. And then I told her how I took my trauma as a child and really tried to create art with it by going and creating a movie at a place that you and I actually filmed that during Snooki and JWoww, Penhurst Asylum, to really start channeling my trauma into art because I... Like Mike and I joke about all the time, I like being fucked up. I accept my demons. So instead of trying to fix my demons in therapy, I live with them. And I really think there's something to be said about living with them and putting it into, like, what I like to put it into is movies now.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to get into that because I did ask all the fans, you know, what they wanted to ask you and a ton of questions about that. But, I'm so proud of you for that interview because you've never really spoken about that before. Like, obviously, I know your entire life.
Yes.
And you didn't grow up traditionally, but I mean, Terry killed it as best as he could.
Terry crushed it. And in perspective, like my parents were 20 and 22. I couldn't even wipe my own ass at that age. You walked into the Jersey Shore house at that age.
Oh my God. I was getting arrested on the beach. Yeah. Like, I had no idea how to even take care of myself.
So like,
are you kidding?
Terry totally crushed it for being literally to me. Like, I was still a child at that age, a child raising a child, even though he could vote. Like, you know, he was raising a daughter on his own by like 24 years old. So Terry crushed it, but you know, like you just said, like if my family and my upbringing was nuclear, I would have never have strive to move to New York City, which would have never allowed me to be on the Jersey Shore. And I would
you wouldn't be so independent and all this stuff.
I would be totally complacent in the life that I would grow up in, and I wouldn't be here today. So I'm actually grateful for my childhood and past, even though going through it, it was not easy. And that's like, I think that's a message that I'm going to start pushing forward is that like, in life, you might be going through some heavy shit, but that doesn't mean that that's it for you. And it could shape you to be somebody different in your future where you feel like there is no other option. Like, that's how I felt growing up. to where today I'm coming out with a movie in like a week and I want to throw up on myself. Like, no. Never thought that would be possible.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. So I'm so proud of you for that interview. If you guys haven't heard it, make sure you go and listen to that, because you're going to learn a different side of Jenny that you've never seen before. And then you're going to realize why she's such a strong ass bitch. And she was always a good mommy to me, because you're the best. But yeah, before I get into the questions, I wanted you to talk about the movie and like why you wanted to do that. Because I always tell people you always wanted to be like behind the camera. Obviously, you know, you love your job being a reality star and it's so much fun, but you've always had like other dreams and passions.
Yeah, my ongoing joke in life was I would love to be, and this was, you know, 15 years running, 1% of Ryan Seacrest. Like, Ryan Seacrest started out, I think, as like an American Idol host.
Oh my God, who's insane?
Yeah. And behind the scenes, he's created some of the most iconic reality TV shows and television shows. And he still stays on television, or he's still behind, you know, in radio.
I had to Google how much he got on Wheel of Fortune. And it's like $34 million a season.
Jesus. Like, I don't even know what that's like. Crushing it. But that's what I mean. Like, I just want to be 1% of him. And actually, 0.1%. Jesus. But, there's something to be said about being behind the camera. And I love that I went to college for animation and software development. But not only that, I love that I was able to find myself in Jersey Shore, because we're always in front of the camera, but we have this unique friendship and family with our production company. And mm-hmm. I love learning from them. So when we shot Snooki and JWoww, I don't even remember what season it was. We went to Penhurst Asylum, and I jokingly, but not jokingly, said to you or the producers, I was like, if I ever grow up one day, I want to shoot a movie here. And it's just because I found...
Oh, you said that? I didn't know that.
Yes. I don't even know if it aired.
Who did you say that to?
You know who I think it was? Actually Elon, because Elon was giving me such shit for not believing in the paranormal aspect, because his mom was part of it and like they believed in it, and I kind of was like messing with everyone, and producers were getting so mad at me, and I was like, calm down. If I ever grow up, I'm going to shoot a movie here. And I'm going to, like, this is going to be my first spot. And, you know, cut to...
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah. 10 years later, COVID hit. And I was like, this is my time to make something of myself. Because I actually wasn't sure. I know you felt the same way during COVID, if Jersey Shore was going to make it or not. Like, COVID was hard for...
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know if the world was going to make it. I was like, is this it?
Exactly. So I was like... Let me take a tiny amount of my savings. Let me go see, because there's one thing to love movies, watch movies, and enjoy them, but it's obviously another thing to create them. And I formatted the movie based on all the knowledge I had of Jersey Shore, down to like COVID testing. I took our protocol of COVID. I took our protocols on like using like security cameras in corners of like the place. I took like first, you know, like, I guess cameras for, because it's a found footage film. So I really captivated how Jersey Shore would have shot it if we shot a horror movie, because that's the only way that I learned at the time how to shoot something is how we shoot on our show.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, you're like directing this, you're writing this, you're literally doing the entire thing. Like, were you just like playing house, pretending like, okay, I think this is what I'm supposed to do? Yeah. Because that's literally what I do at my stores when I first opened. Yeah. I was like, okay, I think this is what I do with employees. And I think like this is how I run a business. So I'm like still playing house to this day.
Yes. Total imposter syndrome.
How did you know what you're doing?
Yes. Total imposter syndrome. I was like, okay.
Did you like YouTube how to be a director?
No. And you know what? Hindsight is 2020. And I would have killed for the knowledge that I have today back then, because I know the movie would be a billion times different and better, but I really...
It's your first one.
Exactly. It's my first one in the concept of, I went in so blind. I don't know if you ever went into like the snooky shop totally blind. I went in dumb as a box of rocks. Like,
yes.
I was a producer. I was an editor. I was a director. I was the PA buying
food.
That
is insane.
I was helping put makeup on for continuity shots.
I can't.
Like, it was wild behavior. I wouldn't recommend that type of life for anyone. But if anything, it made me fall in love with it a billion times more because I like crashed out by doing it. But like you said, I was playing house. I was like, ooh, I have a bunch of friends during COVID and we're fucking around and making a film.
Well, yeah, because everyone is bored anyway.
Yeah, I was
so
like,
it's like, no one's really doing anything. Let's just do this.
Let's fuck around and make a film. That's what Devin is. It's a psychological thriller. Those are the type of horror films and scary films I like. That's like my personal genre. If I was to make it in this world, those would be the types that I would go for because there's something satisfying about just the psychology behind the camera.
Oh, explain more.
Oh, I don't know. Like, so there's like, you know, there's, for instance, Paranormal Activity or Blair Witch.
Oh my God, the scariest fucking shit ever.
Those are the ones that scare the most because
yes,
they're not
agreed.
Necessarily like you can see anything. There's nothing like there, but it's the psychology behind making you think that something's there, making you think.
Right.
Even Long Legs was a serial killer, but the framework of how some of like the DP on that, the cameraman on that was just phenomenal. How he framed out certain things just to make that one shot. I don't know if you saw the movie where it's like you think something's going to come through the door frame, but it doesn't. I love the psychology. I'm not really into the slasher, like overkill, crazy.
Yeah, like gore.
No, I'd rather be behind like the manipulation of the mind that really gets to you and the psychology and whether I want to play on, because again, this has to do with my mom and how I was raised, mental illness versus like, is it real or not? Because there's really something beautiful about mental illness in the sense where I was raised in a household with a mom that had schizophrenia. Schizophrenia makes you think and hear of things and see things that might not be true. To you, as someone that has a brain that's working in a normal capacity, but to my mom, it was real. And that's what made it beautiful to me when I finally understood, like, I had to start seeing things through my mom's eyes and not mine. And if anyone can take anything from this, when you start seeing things through their eyes, you can build an absolutely beautiful relationship with them because you can be more empathetic and understanding. Growing up, I would be so embarrassed. I'd be like, Mom, like what you're hearing is not real. Please just stop. Like you're embarrassing.
I know, like you would get like angry about it.
So angry. But now I'm like, oh, damn. Like, what did that bitch say? Like, what? Like, fuck her up. Like, I don't care. If you think you hear someone talking shit, pop off, Mom. But it also made me learn, like, there's so many layers and there's just, there's a scale to life and how people see it. And that's how I want my movies to be. So, you know, I might shoot a film now that might be through the lens of someone with a mental illness that to them it's real. And that's like, that's what I want to put out in the world because I feel like it'll be very relatable to my moms out there.
All right. So I actually was watching, you know, because we're obsessed with TikTok. Me and Jenny, we send each other like 25 TikToks a day. Like we're obsessed. And I was watching this TikTok of people with schizophrenia. And there's a theory that like their brain sees things that we can't. Like universal things and like our brain is like peanuts. Like I feel like like mentally and spiritually, we just don't allow ourselves to see things because we're always like, oh, that's not real or whatever. But people with schizophrenia actually see these things and they see like the simulation of life. And I was like, holy crap, like I could see that.
I believe it because being true. Like my mom was diagnosed in the 80s where it was more like cutthroat. It was more dry. And I feel like it was less tolerable. But now that we're here, right? And we're debunking so many things that back then were like, aliens didn't exist and this didn't exist and all these things didn't exist, but now they exist. And now we're more accepting. To me, I look at schizophrenia in a very similar light. Like I find it to be just like a spectrum of like life. Like some people like you talk about how you have psychic abilities, right?
Sure.
I feel like 100 years ago, you would have got burned at the stake in Salem by saying that.
No shit. I'd be a witch.
Exactly. You would be straight up considered a witch. Where I'm also thinking in 100 years, schizophrenia is going to be like totally accepted and they're going to have their own offices of like, so what family member or who are you trying to see right now? Like, the people that might be talking to my mom might be just people that are like trying to come in from a psychic ability that we just don't know about.
Literally.
For real.
No, I believe in all that shit. You know, I believe in all the crazy things. Okay, so your movie, you did it at the insane asylum. So I watched it, guys. She showed me, the first time I saw it, we were on a private jet, like going somewhere for work. We didn't pay for it, it was work. But we felt so cool. And she was like, do you want to watch my movie? I'm like, duh. So I ended up watching it. I was like screaming because I love scary movies. I love being scary. But like there's some parts where I was like, ooh. And the pilot almost crashed us. Like he looked back and he was like, is everything okay? I was like, we almost killed each other. We almost died in a plane crash because of her movie. So everyone, you have to get ready for it. It's amazing. I cannot wait for the premiere party. All of us are going and it's going to be insane. And I'm so proud of you. But I remember being there on the show for Snooki and JWoww. And I felt things. I felt like people touching me. I just felt everything. I felt people like walking by when there was nobody there, like cold chills here and there. So when you were, I know you told me this, but when you were filming your movie, was there like shit like that was crazy? That like, you know, obviously it's not part of the movie, but real shit,
yeah,
like stuff
and
was
just
happening.
Like circling back on what you said, that was when you also didn't know that you had like your special ability. So you were like panicking during those situations. You weren't like letting it in.
Oh yeah.
You're totally
fucked.
If I go
in there now, fuck.
So back then you were feeling that and I was giggling and laughing. I was like, yeah, right. Not true. Like there's nothing here. I'm totally going to fuck around and make a movie here and prove it. And I proved myself wrong in the most craziest way, because when we were filming there, not only did I saw some shit that I can't explain, and our electronics went through some shit. I had to do two pickup scenes on different days there because it would crash our electronics. But like, I felt like I did my production team and my cast, which I apologize to all the time, a disservice. Because I would leave one for a second and I would turn a corner and I would have one in hysterical tears being like, I just saw a kid run across the lawn. You have to save them.
Oh my God, stop. I got chills.
Swear, I don't know what to do. I heard his scream. And then AJ, you know AJ, he's logical. He's not about that. Crying because he saw the same kid. We're talking 5-6-year-old at 1 a.m. This is not logical. It's not real. And he's driving like the golf cart back from like one scene to the next. He saw him like run across the road. There were just so many paranormal experiences, that uncontrollable ones that we had, that I was like, oh my God, I wish back in like whenever it was 2011 or 12 when we went there, I could have been in your position more, because I felt stupid for like making fun of you back then when we were filming at Snooki and JWoww, and then cut to me trying to like calm everyone that's crying as I'm up in like the hotel room working on a rewrite at 2 a.m. And I look into my bathroom light is on, and there the bathroom light reflects off the closet mirror, and I look. You can see the closet mirror that looks into the bathroom. It's like weird, but it's typical hotel. Like the moment you walk in the door, the bathroom's on the left, the closet mirror's on the right. The bathroom light was on. There was a, I swear on everything, there was a black shaped figure standing in the bathroom.
God.
Reflecting off that mirror. And till this day, it gives me chills because I will never forget that feeling. I was frozen. Like just frozen in bed to the point where I couldn't even like shake Zach to wake up. That, and someone said that we brought that spirit back to us because you're supposed to tell them to stay here and release you and do all these proper protocols that I was just not believing in. And therefore I brought one back to the hotel with me. And
oh my God,
up until that moment, I didn't believe in it. And what I'm telling you, I saw a person standing in our bathroom. I can never be the same after that.
Wait, so how did you get the ghostie back?
So I hired a lot of people that worked at Pennhurst because they were able to not only give us the insights, they were able to really navigate. And of course, my dumbass brought a Ouija board, which is a huge no-no.
Oh my God,
at places
an
like
asshole.
That. I know. That's what I literally was
Greek.
Called. So one of the people we hired named Jen went and like, apparently closed the portal, and then she did something with me. She had to do this whole thing on the cast, all of us, to say, you know, we release you, you're not welcome, you need to stay here, you cannot go home with them. They even explained every spirit that is like living on premise. They also boarded up, since we've been there in Sookie and JWoww, certain buildings that had really negative energy. Apparently one like pushed one of the manager's daughters down a flight of steps, and she even
like
broke.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, so like wild behavior. Like some of the spirits are so negative. I don't know which one I brought home that day with me or to the hotel. And then some are just children that live there and wanted to play.
Mm-hmm. I remember those too.
Yes, and like even one of my sow guys, Mark, was in a room. Swear to God and everything. He went in a room with a child that's very known for like hitting a ball, and he was hitting a ball back and forth with this child.
Oh, freak.
Like he would hit the ball lightly, it would go by a wall, and then it would come rolling back to him.
That is insane.
I can't.
Wait, so was the cast, so obviously like, you know, the actors, they had like their script and they had to like do what they needed to do as their part, but were they like genuinely like freaked out? Like, you know, when they were doing their scenes?
I felt so bad for them because my casting call to them, and I never updated it. I went through like a casting company, was 72 hours in Pennhurst. So all of them were actually prepared to sleep in Pennhurst for 3 days.
Oh my God.
And when they found out that they actually got to have hotel rooms and go home and sleep, they were like relieved and like, this is like way better. And I was like, oh my God, I'm such an asshole. I never updated it. Because the original concept of Devin was going to be an experiment on five people just living there for 72 hours. But it was so terrifying. I was like, I can't do this to anybody.
Yeah. Like, I feel I like that would ruin people's lives.
Yes.
Like a lot of therapy and not great.
Yes. So that was the original casting call. And so they were all prepared for the worst. So as bad as it was for them, and I did a loose script. I did not do a line by line script because I really wanted them to play into the just natural atmosphere of Pennhurst, which was great. Little tricky with editing because, you know, shit went sideways a lot. And I'll never do that again. And I don't think I'll ever film in a haunted place again because, like, ghosts just don't like me. But yeah, it was wild. But they, they survived just knowing that they didn't have to sleep there. They were like so happy at the fact that they were like, wait, we don't have to sleep here. We'll do anything.
Oh my God. That is insane.
I know. I screwed up with that.
Yeah, but the fact that they were like ready to do it and they were like, all right, I'm here. I mean, that's
a
freaking ball.
Yes, they showed and everything, which is wild because like at one point when we got to the Airbnb to shoot some of the pre-scenes, I was like, what if none of my cast shows? Like, what if they just don't believe that JWoww is making a movie and they just don't show
just
and
bounce.
Report? Yeah, and they just, you know, and they all showed. They showed on time. That being actually could have been like the worst part ended up being the easiest.
Oh. Well, I'm excited for these people. Have they been in anything like big, or this is like kind of like their big break? Because I feel like this movie is going to be huge.
I hope it. Oh my God, huge! You're giving me agita.
Huge.
I don't actually know, but Tara, the one that actually helped me edit it. Because I went through a few editors. I just wasn't feeling it. That's probably why it took so long to come out. Tara, being one of the actual cast members, knew of footage and pickup scenes that I did. Because here's the issue when you're doing found footage where everybody has a camera. You and I do Jersey Shore, so it's very natural that like four cameras are pointing at us at all times, like minimum. That's not normal in movies. Movies, it's one camera, one shot, and then you go to the next shot, like behind the head, in front of the head, to the side,
right.
A mid-wide.
Yeah.
I did 8 shots at once during every scene. So every kid, like every cast member had a camera, and then we had like three GoPros. So there was 8 or 9 shots of each scene. And it was so problematic in editing because I had to try and pick.
Oh, yeah, that's
a lot.
Now
you have like 100 hours of footage, but you have to times that by 8 versions of that footage. So you have 800 hours to sift through.
Oh, no.
And that's why I was editing on the plane. That's what I mean. So
I wouldn't have the patience for that.
No editor did. So basically, it came down to me and Tara, who remembered all the shots. And we edit it together, but I would never recommend that type of found footage because I don't know how Jersey Shore does it. You have like, if you have 5 or 6 cameras in one shot, to pick the best shot is like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, that I don't have the patience for that. I really don't.
No,
I
did it. That's why
it
took 4 years. It took 4 years to come out.
literally. I can't. So where is it streaming? What day? What time? Tell everybody.
So November 12th, it drops, I believe, on Apple. And I just know I'm going to misspeak, but Apple. And then later on, it's going to go on Screambox. But all the major ones that you can rent movies on, it'll be available November 12th.
So everybody get ready. It's going to be a really good movie. And I just want to get to a couple questions because then I have to go get Angelo because I'm at the school right now.
I love that for you.
Let's see. Oh, so Brie Kelly wants to know, Jenny, do you have a wedding date yet? What's going on?
I don't. And I always feel like I'm letting the fans down with that. But I'm so happy exactly where I am that I feel like... take a lesson from me that unless like kids or things of that nature are involved, I'd rather just be in a healthy, happy relationship all day than get paperwork involved. But also, based on what everyone's saying in the world right now, weddings are like quadruple from what I recall. And
oh my God, insane.
I'm hearing like it's like $300 to $500 minimum a plate. And that just gave me an actual aneurysm that's like the going rate right now.
Well, that's why we're going to Italy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if I was to do anything, it would probably on the fly and I would be in a different country.
Well, I'm ready when you are.
Thanks, Boo.
All right. Jilly wants to know, what was your first impression of each other? Well,
I swear to God to this day that that impression was not real.
Yeah, that was your face when I walked in.
No, it was.
That had to be, because why would you make that face?
They could have used it from, like, someone, I don't know, farting. And no, they could have come. That's the best part about editing. I just gave you an editing course.
I swear you did that to me when I walked in and I said, "Woo, who wants shots?" And you were like, "This fucking girl, like, calm down."
You were giving rabid chihuahua coming excited. In the house.
I always wanted to be on a reality show. I was like, "Yeah, I made it, Mom."
Yeah, it was scary. It was definitely, you were intimidating at your tiny stature.
Everyone was like, calm down. I'm like, why are you guys like so boring?
You really were.
I can't. Connor wants to know, when's the reboot for Snooki and JWoww? We would give everything to do Snooki and JWoww again.
We talk about it, I think, like every day and different versions based on like our TikToks that we send each other.
Yeah, so I feel like it would be, so the original concept of Snooki and JWoww was me and Jenny, we're going to like travel, kind of like simple life and like try like things that, you know, we weren't like used to and basically like a road trip show. Yeah.
Yeah, bucket list moments.
And then I got pregnant with Lorenzo and I'm like, you know, the normal concept of us, you know, us just living in a house together while I'm pregnant.
But now I would totally do the bucket list again, or I would shift it since you're now into psychic paranormal. I would do a bucket list show with you of like going to spooky places that are local to us.
Yes. Yeah. So I literally, me and Jenny were just talking about this because we love spookies and, you know, we love like being scared and stuff like that. So if we were to do Snooki and JWoww again, like obviously, you know, like show like our lives and stuff like that. But the main thing would be us like going to these haunted places and seeing if we get scared and like do all that stuff because we love the spookies.
I would kill for that. I would be so excited.
Oh, this is good. So Jenny, I need some advice. Any fave mom advice you can give me?
Fucking hold on for dear life. I don't know. Another thing, Nicole and I.
I feel like me and Jenny are definitely similar when it comes to like being a mom because we're always like so stressed and like we'll always end up like texting each other complaining. Like, am I a bad mom for like saying this or thinking this? And I'm like, no, I said that last week. Like,
it's, you know, my biggest thing is just apologize to them at the end of the day because I always say like, to Milani, especially because she's my older one and she's my firstborn. Like, this is my first time being a mom too. Like, I'm also trying to figure this out while you're also trying to be a kid. So my advice might be my advice, but I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'm just trying to figure it out too.
And also, it's not easy because our girls are 10 and they're literally mini-me's. And, you know, me and Jenny are only children and we get bratty sometimes. And then I see that in Giovanna and I'm like, you're such a brat. But then I'm like, oh, I would probably say that too. So it's really hard to have a mini me of you. And especially when they're getting to that age of like being a preteen, like we're going to be screwed once they get their periods.
I know, but I already feel like the hormones are in taking over and my daughter's very opinionated. She loves to, I don't want to say talk back, but she has an opinion. I always say she's going to make the best lawyer. And it's hard. It's like a reflection of me and this tiny little version of me. It's like, I just want to, you know, that's why I like wine and drinking heavily at night. So here we are.
And that's your advice.
Yes.
Any last words, my love?
Give Angelo the biggest hug and kiss for me.
All right. We love you, meatballs. Thank you for listening. And thank you to my boo for coming on the show. And I totally forgot. It's Halloween. Happy freaking Halloween, bitches. We love you. And we'll see you next week.